The information contained in this podcast is not financial nor investment advice. All trades and investments are my own. All opinions are my own and should not be construed as advice. If you do decide to trade or invest in any of the markets discussed, you do so at your own risk. Welcome to episode 17 of the Blockchain Immersive Podcast. First of all, I just wanted to apologize. I was not able to release a podcast last week, and I may not be able to do it every week, but last week was especially busy. I'm making a big change in my life, a good one, and so that took a lot of my time. And it has something to do with me actually moving somewhere else, somewhere better, somewhere that I feel even more comfortable and more productive. But it's a big move, and I will discuss it once it actually happens. But it's moving very quickly, and it's all good, so no worries about that. So we have a lot to discuss for this week, and it's only Thursday, the 13th of October, but we have a lot of news. And because of the nature of these podcasts, sometimes I record things earlier, sometimes later. So what you're going to see now, you're probably going to see one thing you're going to see later in the trade of the week. So don't mind that. And you'll see other news and of course, the trade of the week. And I also discuss a market that many people don't know about, and that's towards the middle of the podcast. So let's cover some news first, and probably the biggest news came out today, and that inflation increased 0.4% in September. Now, this caused the market to collapse, okay, which is not a bad thing for me. I discuss in Trader's Corner where I am here, so I'm not going to go over that again. You'll see that in a moment. But so inflation is going up. And look at the headline here. It says, inflation increased 0.4% in September, more than expected despite rate hikes. And as I say in the trade of the week, again, these rate hikes, they're being applied to a problem that did not exist before. So they're just, you know, they're just throwing the same tools, you know, against something that they've never seen. And that's why I'm not a big fan of these rate hikes. And I think they're actually hurting the economy, not helping it. So that is my opinion on that. Another good piece of news here is the UK passes bill that could see trade documents stored using the blockchain. So this is great, because what this is saying is that the underlying technology for cryptocurrencies and the like are now being considered by governments. They've always been considered, but this seems to be moving more forward to store information on it, you know, because we already know that the blockchain is great for, information storage and things like that. So this is very encouraging that we're actually seeing this. Okay, so keep this in mind. I think we're going to hear more about this soon. Now, some not so good news. October has become the worst month for crypto hacks with 2 weeks to go. So we've seen a lot of hacks in crypto recently, and you know, it's definitely a field that is prone to hacking, and it's unfortunate, but it is prone to hacking, and so you're going to see this, and this is a growing pain. But one thing I did read recently was that because of all of these issues, companies are becoming more and more vigilant, learning more and more ways to avoid these things from happening. So although this is bad news, and you certainly don't want to be on the wrong side of this, overall, this is going to help the industry mature. So there's a silver lining there. Now, here's another piece of news that I think you might be interested in. And this is big. This is the oil producing cut oil production. per day. And this caused oil prices and by extension, gasoline prices to rise. And it's unfortunate because this is also something we can't afford, right? I mean, we're already going through an inflationary period and gasoline prices, at least in the States, have been plummeting. And now they're starting to come back up because the OPEC members, including Russia, decided they were going to cut production. So this was against everything that the United States was trying to do. The United States was actually hoping OPEC would increase production to bring down the prices, but it did not happen. And the final piece of news that I think is very interesting is this, and this is not directly related to cryptocurrencies, but it is in a more macro way. So this research institute finds, moving beyond basic functionality, customers now prefer a completely digital banking experience. And this is a company that researches in the field. Now, why is this important? Is because what this is saying is that most people nowadays are looking to go completely online with their banking. And this is something that has been happening for a while, but now we're starting to see that a majority of customers now want a complete digital banking experience. Some of this is, of course, due to COVID, right? Because you could only do things digitally during the COVID years. But also, it's just more convenient. I mean, right? I mean, isn't it much more convenient to do everything from your phone, you know, scan a check or send money or whatever? So how does this relate to crypto? It relates to crypto because cryptocurrencies are completely digital. And slowly but surely, as you've seen, banks are adopting cryptocurrencies. So this actually bodes well for the industry at large. And that's why I think this is actually really good news. And although this article was written a few months ago, I brought it up now only because I think it's really important to know this, especially now when the markets are sort of down. So that's the news for now. In the next part of this podcast, you'll see the market that I discussed that not many people know about, and I'll give you sort of a rough overview of it. See you then. In this portion of the podcast, I'm going to discuss a market unrelated to crypto. You had asked me to cover markets that are unrelated, and this is one of them. This page is showing something called an I-bond. And this is a bond issued by the United States government that most people do not know about, even some professionals. I mean, if you go out on the street, right, and you ask someone about U.S. savings bonds, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, I sort of know about them. And usually what people know are these, the EE bonds. And they're the typical savings bonds. And even if you go to Wall Street people who, you know, they're dealing in stocks or even bonds, but like corporate bonds, and you ask them, do you know what an I bond is? They may not even know it. So it's like this little secret, even though it's not really a secret. So what is an I bond? An I bond is the United States government bond that protects you from inflation. Now, again, we've discussed this in the previous podcast, and you probably see it on the news. Inflation's on the rise all over the world. And in the United States, the official number is in the 9% area. Now, of course, we know that just by walking in the street and going to the restaurants and buying stuff at the supermarket, we know that 9% isn't exactly accurate. We had some food products that were up 40%, and we know damn sure that gasoline went up more than 9%. And now it's back on the rise because of the OPEC cut. So these bonds are the government's way, the United States government's way, to help you mitigate the eroding effect of inflation. So because remember, they report numbers based on their own methodology. So in their mind, the inflation rate is 9% plus. So they are issuing these bonds that are now paying 9.62% up until October 31st that will help you mitigate the eroding power of inflation. Now, this is great, right? I mean, how many bonds do you know in the United States that are paying 9%? None of them. All of them are paying, you know, 2 to 3 to 4%. So this is very nice. Now, the issue is, of course, if you believe in the United States figures, then this is great. This will sort of keep your money safe, so then the eroding power of inflation won't touch it. So basically, at the end of the year, you're sort of flat. You didn't lose any money, let's put it that way. And if inflation goes down, you might actually make some. So what's great about these bonds is that when you buy it, let's say today up until October 31st, you benefit from not only a fixed rate of interest, which would be this or a variant of this, but also changes in inflation. So as inflation changes, your rate sort of changes. So it's giving you this constant protection against inflationary erosion. Now, this is for money that you don't need to touch for at least a year, okay? This is money that maybe you're nervous about putting it into other markets, but you also don't want to keep it in a savings account because that's only paying, you know, 1 or 2%. I mean, you're already at a 7% loss with inflation. So this is a place to put it. Now, I'm not telling you to do it. I'm just giving you that that this is an option, right, that you can use. And it's very flexible. It pays interest every 6 months or semi-annually. And you can cash it out after a year. But it matures. It'll pay interest for 30 years if you keep it, if you hold it. So that's a nice thing. So if, let's say, after a year, you're like, you know, I still don't really need that cash, you can just keep it in there, you know, or you could sell it and, you know, buy something else with it, whatever. But you could keep it in there and just let it accrue more. Now, again, this is cash that you don't need right away, but you also don't want to risk in other markets. In the United States, obviously, it is federally taxable, but on the state level, it's not. So, for example, I'm a New York resident. I'll pay only the federal income tax on the interest, but not state or local tax. So that's good, I guess. And then there are two versions of this bond. There's the electric I-bond, which is essentially it's a digital, right? So you can buy $25 minimum and you can actually specify up to the cent. So if you wanted to buy a bond in this example, you know, $36.73, if that's what you wanted, right? Because it's on a ledger, there's nothing to issue. It's just a point on a spreadsheet, on a balance sheet. Whereas the paper I-bonds, they'll literally issue a certificate. And that comes in more exact numbers, like 50, 100, 200, 500, or 1,000. And then you have limits. You know, you can buy up to $10,000 worth of electric bonds or $5,000 in paper bonds during any calendar year. So this is a nice option if, again, it's essentially riskless because it's adjusting with inflation. So your buying power never really changes with that money. That money is sort of protected. And it's backed by the United States government. So the chances of it defaulting are near zero. Now, the only time this would become a risky investment is that, I mean, we would have to have a catastrophe occur, like that would devalue the dollar, something like that, or major catastrophe. Like, I mean, if nuclear war broke out, you know, sort of close to the border here in the United States, this could be a problem. We don't, you know, you never know, right? If something like that happened, and you know, a city is obliterated, the United States government's going to need every dollar it can get, and it might impact this. But the likelihood of something like that happening is, you know, that's like in a dystopian novel. Not saying that it could never, ever, ever happen, but, you know, it's unlikely. So this is a pretty safe bet. And again, if you believe in the inflationary numbers issued by the government, this is a good bet. But we all know that it's much higher than that. But even still, even if inflation is 30%, like real inflation is 30%, this is still the highest savings riskless bond you can probably get in the United States then, and I mean riskless. I'm sure you could probably get like junk bonds that are paying, you know, 15%, but it's risky. Those junk bonds are not called junk for nothing. So that's it for this part of the podcast. I just wanted to show you an unrelated market. In the next part, you will see a few trades of the week. Welcome to Trader's Corner. So unlike the previous weeks where I had multiple trades, I am in one trade that I've been in for almost a week. And it's going extremely well. And I know I wasn't able to get the podcast out last week. I had a lot going on, but these were the trades from last week, and they were actually not bad except for this one I actually lost money on. So I got in a short on October 7th at 1344.25. I know it says 42. That was the actual signal, but when I actually got the order in, it got 1344.25. And I went short the usual 15, 2x margin. And now look where we are. I mean, this is great. I'm at least a little over 100 points in the money. And it looks extremely weak. But it did spike down here today, that's the 13th, to 1219. Okay, so we're a little bit off that low. Now, today is going to be crucial because we have an inflation report coming out in the U.S. today in, I don't know, about 2 or 3 hours. And either it's going to continue to move lower or I'm going to get out of the trade. And then we'll have like a spike up. So I guess we'll see what happens. I mean, no one's expecting this report to be good, but you know how things are. One thing I've learned from trading on Wall Street for so many years is that sometimes the consensus is completely wrong. Now we're in an inflationary period, so if it is worse, it's not unexpected. But even if it's a little bit better, it doesn't necessarily mean that things are turning around. It just means, all right, well, one month is, you know, better than the other, but still on a high inflationary rate. But the consensus is that September was very bad inflation in regard to inflation. And I guess we'll find out in a few hours. Now, my strategy here is because this is a very volatile day. And by the way, the report didn't even come out yet, and we already had this big drop. And that's because there was some news for Ethereum that it became deflationary, that more transactions coins were burned than created, which actually reduces supply. So you would think actually this would go up. But actually why it went down is because it's showing that there's slowing demand for Ethereum, which is fine. If you're on the short side too, that doesn't matter. It doesn't really matter if there's good news or bad news. You can participate, like I said, in both directions. So for me, doesn't make any difference. And but again, it's creating the one good thing it is creating for the longer term buyers, including myself, is that, you know, it's making Ethereum really cheap. And what's beautiful about a cheaper Ethereum is that also some NFTs are also very cheap now, because a lot of NFT value, well, a lot of NFTs that are based on Ethereum, a lot of their value is related to the value of the underlying token, in this case, Ethereum. So I'm looking at NFTs right now. I don't have specific ones, but I'm doing some research to see if there are any that that look good. And if you saw my course on NFTs, I go really deep into how to analyze NFTs, how to buy them and everything. If you have not enrolled in that, I'm telling you, please do so. You'll really get a lot out of it. So that's it for this video of Trader's Corner. I of course don't know if I'll be in another trade later today or before the end of the week, but at least we got one trade out. And last week, like I said, I had some good trades here except for this one. So, but I didn't record it because I was so busy last week. So that's it. I will see you in the next video, whatever video that's going to be. Okay, we are back. And wow. So inflation did come in and it increased 0.4% in September, more than expected despite rate hikes. So you see, this is what I've been saying. These rate hikes aren't going to work because the inflation is not due to the same issues that rate hikes worked with before. So, but anyway, I'm not going to get into that right now. So we have an increase in inflation and Social Security cost of living adjustment will be 8.7% in 2023, the highest increase in 40 years for the states. So that means those who are on Social Security benefits, those who are maybe disabled or they are past retirement age, or and they get a check from the government every month, it's going to go up 8.7%. So that's very significant. Now, of course, remember, I am short Ethereum, right? It is collapsing. Look at this. It's already at, its low was 1189. It's currently trading at 1208. Remember, I got in at 1344.25. So I'm a good 140 somewhat points in the money. And remember, 15 short, and we went as low as 1190. So I'm just going to ride this out until I get a clear sign to get out. And I'm probably going to wait for a buy signal and just get out then. But this was an amazing trade. And I don't know if I'll be out before the end of the week, before this podcast is due, but we shall see. Hey there. So I did get finally a buy signal to get out of this short, which I got in, and it was very successful. I got out at 1245.38. The signal came in at 1250, but by the time I got the order in, I actually got a better price, and I immediately reversed position. So I took about a good, over 100 points, about 100 points in this trade, 15 coins to the short side. So that's a very good success rate. And obviously I didn't make the whole move, but I made most of it. And these are just spikes down. So, you know, I would have been really lucky to get out here. So I reversed the position and now the position is also, it's up just under 100 points. Now, this is a little dangerous today because we do have a report coming out and I just, I'm actually going to be watching this like a hawk a little bit because we've seen so much volatility. I don't want to give up all of this move, but if it starts crashing, I might have to give up some of it, right? So we'll see what happens. I will keep you updated. And I'm not sure what time the report comes out. It should be coming out any minute now, actually. It's 8:50 in the morning right now. Anyway, that's an update right now for these trades. I'm now back into it, but long, and we'll see what happens. Well, it is Friday evening, the 14th of October, and this trade has not resolved yet. I remember I was long from here, and I'm still in. We did not get a sell signal, so I'm still in, and I'll stay in until I get a sell signal. But we gave back a little bit here, but as long as I get out before my entry, that's all that matters. And then I'll go short. But because it's the end of the week, I'm not going to be able to record that for this podcast, but I'll probably do so for the next podcast. And then the podcast after that, maybe I'll try another coin. We'll play around and we'll see. So anyway, that is the end of this podcast. In the next podcast, I'm going to cover something. Remember, we're covering markets outside of crypto. I'm going to cover something in brief called credit default swaps. And this is not something that you and I can easily get into. I wanted to explain it because I did get an email the other day from someone who asked me to explain some of the elements that brought the Great Recession in 2008, and credit default swaps were definitely part of that problem. So I will, in the next podcast, explain what those are. They're a little bit complex, but again, it's not a market that you and I can just sort of easily go into, but I'll cover it anyway. With that, that is the end of this podcast. I'll see you in the next one. Have a good weekend.